Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dine on Life Talk Radio Show. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend, and depending on your religion, you may have celebrated Easter. The topic of today's show aligns perfectly with this past weekend because we are serving the dish on Life Talk. Listeners, it is time to all wake up. Also, we have a very special guest today, the talented and spiritual author, Anne Field.
I'm so excited about our show today, Anne Field.
Yeah, so let's jump right into it.
Well, I do want to start off with the question, what does life mean to you? Because there are so many different answers to that, but to really understand what your answer might be to that question, it may be wise to actually understand what life is. Some people are lucky enough to be trained to be expected for certain situations to arise in their life, and some people may just have to wing it and figure it out on their own. But either way, spirituality and religion, it plays a big role in the lives of many people. In fact, many people believe that spirituality is linked to health, and researchers are seeking to find that evidence. But I want to ask another question, and that is, what exactly is spirituality? According to Psychology Today, and I quote, for some people, it's about participating in organized religion, going to church or a synagogue, a mosque, and so on. And for others, it's more personal. Some people get in touch with their spiritual side through private prayer, yoga, meditation, quiet reflection, or even long walks.
Well, my life, going back to the first question, what does life mean to me? It ties in with the second question, which was what is spirituality? For me, it is both on a personal level, and I guess I'm kind of involved in organized religion as well, as I do go to church, but it even says in the Bible, faith without works is dead. So, I mean, I can go to church all day, but, you know, I still need to educate myself as well on the word. Of course, these are my beliefs. So I still meditate. I'm not as flexible as they are, but I like the idea of yoga and quiet reflection and long walks. So it's kind of a mixture for me. My life does revolve around my spirituality. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it took me years. It took me years to really be able to answer the question, what does life mean to you? For me, let me put it like this. Being able to do certain things to the best of my ability, becoming successful, being able to be a good daughter, sister, friend, wife, mother, that all comes from me being happy within. So what does life mean to me? It's about being at peace and being happy within for myself. Not to sound selfish, but I believe personally that you have to be a little bit selfish in order to live a great life, because if you're not okay, you won't be okay to anyone else in your life. And me, I don't follow an organized religion, but I am very spiritual. I'm the type of person where it said in a quote, in private prayer, yoga, and meditation, I do all three. That's actually how I start my day off before the sun even rises. Private prayer, I do yoga, and I meditate. And it took a while for me to adjust to meditation. I'm not a pro, but I can hang for about 10 minutes. I got that down pat.
Doing it longer than I can.
But keep doing it. You'll get there, girl. So we would love to read your take on what spirituality means to you. So go to our comment section at blogtalkradio.com /dying on life and sound off on what spirituality means to you. And also, we are still waiting for our guest, Ann Phil, so we'll introduce her when she calls in.
All right.
And so,
go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just reflecting just a bit because this is an interesting topic, spirituality. Do you think, because you know there are people who are atheists, do you think that someone can completely live their life on this earth and not believe in anything?
Yeah. That is a very good question. I have met atheists, I've had conversations with them. I can hold a conversation with anyone in religion. Just don't waste your time trying to, convert me. But as far as atheists, the ones that I have spoken with, they truly have a belief that there is no higher power, that everything just happens as it happens. Coincidences do happen. That is not something that God did or any other higher power, superior power. I think that they do believe that they can go through life without believing in any other higher power. I've also worked with elderly and those close to death in hospice care, or those just dying, and worked in hospitals and nursing homes. And I don't care how much of an atheist you were for your entire 65, 75, 80 years of life. I've had younger people, in their 30s who didn't believe in God. But I bet you before they died, they had one lady shocked me. She had a rosary in her hand. Another one, she seen spirits. I believe that they believe they can go their entire life without believing in a higher power. But I don't believe that they can.
Interesting. I don't know. I think one day it would be great for us to speak with someone who is confident with themselves to say they don't believe in anything. Because, of course, we have organized religion, many different types, actually. And then you have those who just believe in the laws of the universe. So I think it just really, really depends. But I think that there's so much evidence here and I'm pretty sure everyone has a testimony to show there is indeed a higher power.
I believe so as well. And at some point, I don't even care necessarily what you think your higher power is. Of course, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the gospel that he died and he rose 3 days later and he died for our sins. But I believe that everybody is going to experience some sort of spiritual activity in their lives. And maybe they won't even recognize it as such, but I do believe that everybody will experience some sort of that they're going to experience that spiritual activity at some point in their lives, even the atheist, honey.
Right. Because some things that happen in life, is just out of our control. Whether you've done some good, you put good energy into the universe and it's your time to reap it back. I think also that when certain opportunities arise, it helps to be, and this is, again, what I mentioned a minute ago, when you're a bit selfish to take care of yourself, then you're able to be confident within yourself and go after those opportunities that was presented to you, whether it's you look at it from a blessing from God or if you feel like, okay, this is positivity that the universe is bringing back to me.
Agreed. So,
what do you think
really,
about? Oh no, I was asking, what do you think about that?
Well, again, this is something I can go on and on about, which I don't mind. I believe that, again, I'm a Christian. I was baptized in the water, born again. I believe that no matter how much you try to avoid it, you know, I mean, I even at some point in life, I believe that coincidences were purely that, coincidence. And as I grew older, I realized that this wasn't coincidence. You know, this is based on my religious beliefs, my spiritual beliefs, that everything in my life was set up. This was all a setup from God. This happened this way because God needed me to learn. This happened that way because it was a test. This happened that way because God didn't want me to go there and I shouldn't have been there. And, you know, I actually had a class with, and this is when I never spoke to anyone about spirituality or about religion. I had a class with a very devout Christian. And next to me, she sat across from me in the social working class, foundations course. Next to me sat a girl who was an atheist. And the atheist explained, and I this stuck with me for years, and of course I still remember it now. She picked up her pencil and she put it down, and she said, "I don't believe in divine creation or whatnot." She doesn't believe pretty much that everything that happens, God already knows it's going to happen. And she picked up the pencil and put it down, and she explained, "I picked up that pencil because I wanted to pick up that pencil." She didn't pick up the pencil because it was to prove a point or anything other than that. She just picked up the pencil and put it down. So she explained that the devout Christian explained that the reason that she picked up that pencil was that it was from the devil, and that the devil was trying to make her explain to other people that God is not real and these things because happen. I don't know if the atheist, the girl who was an atheist, took anything out of it. Honestly, I felt like, you know, she just walked out, and honestly, she had me. She proved the point. She's right. Divine revelation is not real. She picked up the pencil because she picked up the pencil, not because she was trying to prove a point, not because the devil was working in her favor. But it took for me again to be born, you know, born again, to even believe that everything truly does happen for a reason. But again, these are my beliefs. I'm not down to anyone else on theirs, to each his own. But yeah, I'm definitely I wouldn't say an extremely religious person. I'm not like a cult. I'm not trying to convince you to do anything other than what you're going to do. Great.
I do too. If you can see me now, I'm waving my hand like a student in a classroom. I too think that everything does happen for a reason. I think we meet people for a reason, whether they're in our life forever, or if we're learning a lesson from that person, whether the lesson is good or bad. I mean, everything happens for a reason. I think most importantly is what we take from each person and what we take from each experience. But I never think that something is a negative experience. Nothing can be negative to me, because even if something does not go my way, I learn from it. I try to figure out and dissect it. Okay, was there anything I could have done to make it better? Or could I have been better prepared? So everything is a learning experience, and, of course, when things go great, it goes great.
Agreed.
Now, I know you have a jam-packed positive tea segment, and I want all of our listeners to hear this one. I think this one is a good one today.
Yes, I learn something new every time I do a bit of research here. Of course, that's the purpose of the research. But for this tea segment, I don't know if anyone else knew about this, but I didn't. It's time for a positive tea segment, spilling the tea in a positive way. I'm going to share with you all about the excellence of the Black Women's Expo. So the Black Women's Expo is described as an empowering, motivational, and entertaining forum that targets the specific needs and interests of black women. Since 1995, the largest convention center in North America, the McCormick Place Convention Center, becomes a focus for black women seeking to empower, to educate, to improve, and celebrate their lives and the lives of their families. The exhibition is a 3-day event that takes place in Chicago and will take place next month, April 8th through the 10th. Every aspect of the woman's life is addressed and celebrated by connecting attendees to services and resources necessary to maintain their health, active life. There are more than 300 exhibitors and vendors offering an incredibly wide range of goods, services, and information, which include but not limited to apparel and fashion accessories, health and wellness, cuisine and entertainment, with previous performances including acts such as BB and CC Winans, Mary Mary, Keith Sweat, and Patti LaBelle. Mm. And for the first time ever this year, the Black Women's Expo is going on tour. They're adding 2 cities. On September 16th through the 18th, Washington, D.C. will host, and on October 7th through the 9th, Atlanta is hosting. So be sure to check out their website. It is theblackwomensexpo.com for tickets, exhibitors, and contact information if you are interested in attending.
Oh, I am definitely interested in attending. I think that event is so necessary, especially within our community. It is so necessary because there's so much positive energy at that event. You're surrounded by so many womenpreneurs, and everyone has a story. Everyone was not born with a silver spoon in their mouth. So a lot of these women really have to work hard to get to where they're at today. And you can, I mean, networking, the power of networking is crucial because, yes, you work hard to sustain your business and to get to where you're at today, but sometimes you do need a little help, and that's where networking comes in. I scratch your back, you scratch mine, and that's just the way of the world.
I love it. I mean, I love the idea of it. As I said, it's something new that I just discovered. I didn't even know it existed, but I love that they're adding 2 new cities. That is, mark my words, listeners, that is definitely our goal. Dine on Life, Felicia Nicole Productions, CMC by Jazz. We will all be at the Black Women's Expo next year.
Sure.
And we will most definitely, this year, I just want to attend just to see what it's about. They normally expect up to or more than 50,000 attendees. So definitely something I'm excited about.
Yes, awesome positive tea segment. And again, go to theblackwomensexpo.com for tickets, exhibitors, and contact information. And I highly suggest that, especially women, be interested at least in attending. So it is now that time again, time to pay some bills before we continue on with our show. So, Dine on Life listeners, if your Land or Range Rover or Jaguar vehicles are giving you problems, do not rid of your luxury vehicle. Don't do that. Instead, contact Elite Auto Parts to get you back rolling again. And here's a little bit about Elite Auto Parts. Elite Auto Parts is an auto dismantler for foreign cars, and they specialize in used Jaguar and used Land Rover and Range Rover parts. They also offer financing, and guess what? They ship all across America. So go to EliteAutoParts.com and place your order today. And also, if you're in the Southern California region, you can call them directly at 818-767-0445. Again, that's 818-767-0445. And go ahead and tell them that Dine on Life sent you. So, nurse, I'm so excited for our guest today. And this woman, she is a womanpreneur as well. Jasmine, what do you think is the perfect time for?
It is the time to introduce our womanpreneur. She is also our special guest, very accomplished author, and she also maintains a successful writing career, which includes published works in magazines. Today,
and
welcome.
Field.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad to be here with you guys today.
Thank you. Thank you. So let me jump right into this interview. We've been so excited to have you here for the past week. So, Anne, we know that you are passionate about spirituality. So tell us, what is your take and what is your outlook on spirituality? What does it mean to you?
Well, I like the two definitions that Jasmine read earlier. But for me, I narrowed spirituality down to a direct link between me and God. Just removing the middleman of church and priest and whatever else, and just having that direct connection that links me directly to God. And part of that has evolved over time because I grew up in the church. I have relatives that are ministers, my sister, my mother, my uncles, a lot of ministers in the family. But for me, I always had major questions about religion, and some of the questions they could not answer for me to my satisfaction. And I just kind of evolved through the questioning part of life into just cutting out, again, the middle part, organization, I'll just say that, and just going directly with God. Yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
I love it. Now, you know, many researchers are believing that spirituality is indeed linked to health. Do you share that same belief, Anne? And if so, why?
I absolutely agree with that. For me, spirituality as it relates to health includes the mental and emotional aspect, which can be improved through, in my opinion, journaling and meditation, some of the forms that you all mentioned earlier. I think the physical part of health, there's definitely a spiritual part to that as well. I also am a yoga practitioner, and that to me has been some of the most precious and deep experiences that I've had with God is while I'm struggling through a yoga pose or while I'm in that meditation, that intention period before or after a session. I also think that part of spirituality as it relates to health has to do with expanding your soul, expanding your spirit, which can be done, you know, through spiritual mentors, spiritual retreats, which I try to do a couple of those a year, and just listening to different spiritual books and tapes.
All right, great. I know that you've been quoted as stating, through my writings, I choose to be a part of the mass movement aimed at advancing this world in a positive way and aimed at helping humanity truly embrace all that is good, noble, pure, and right. What is your inspiration to pursue your writing efforts in that way?
Well, one of the things that I do is, as a writer, I grew up reading fiction, and so even though I spent probably almost 20 years in corporations working as a staff writer, an editor, a PR specialist, different forms of writing, none of that work was as fulfilling to me as creating fictional works. And so what I call myself now, since I am no longer in the corporate world, is a spiritual person who writes fiction, a spiritual fiction writer. That's not to be confused with Christian writers or Christian fiction writers. What I like to look at are the spiritual aspects of life and how I can incorporate that into fiction works. For example, my book Fuller's Curse, that's, you know, available, it is, in its essence, a book about God is love and the sacrifice that Jesus and God made by taking his son's life to save us. But that lesson is wrapped in a fictional story.
That is very inspiring, and I absolutely cannot wait to read it. And I know you also mentioned that writing and publishing Fuller's Curse was a spiritual exercise in itself. What experiences did you go through to complete and publish it?
Well, it took me 12 years. 12 long, rough, tough years. but I started writing Fuller's Curse in 2000, and I was switching from, I'd already had 5 books published in the romance genre and had a very good following, and my editor at the time came to me and said, we want you to sign another contract. And I said no. And that was God telling me that it was time to change, that it was time for a change. It was time to go up a level in my faith walk and in my growth. And so I made the switch from romance to, I'll just call it literary, which is what Fuller's Curse falls within. And so that was very scary for me. You know, you think about change, and it is a scary process. With romance writing, I had a formula that I could write by because, you know, always in romance novels, the boy and girl meet, they have some problems, they work through their problems, they come together happily ever after. I didn't have that sort of formula when I switched to the literary or the mainstream genre. It was literally just teaching myself how to rewrite all over again, which had its own struggles. So, you know, through a lot of, again, aligning myself with a new set of instructors, not romance experts, but a new set of instructors, and basically taking that first draft of the novel and just scrapping it and starting almost basically from scratch, that was a process in of itself of learning how to rely on the creative process. Someone had mentioned earlier, I don't know if it was you, Felicia, or Jasmine, about starting the day in meditation and prayer. And that's the same thing I do when I sit down to write is, okay, God, I don't know what I'm doing, so I really need you to step in and do this for me. Take over my fingers on this keyboard, and you're going to have to guide me because I am so lost. I don't know what I'm doing. Can I go back to romance, please? And the answer was always, no, you're going to do this, and you're going to get it done. And I did. It took 12 years, but it's done.
That's what I want to do. That is so powerful.
Yes. Well, Ms. Anfields, it was such a pleasure to have you on our show. We truly enjoyed your outlook on spirituality as well as sharing the behind-the-scenes experience with your writing. So before you leave, please tell our listeners how they can purchase Fuller's Curse as well as how they can find you online.
Absolutely. And thank you, ladies, again for this time. I appreciate it. And my website is www.anfields, that's ANNFIELDS.com. And my book, Fuller's Curse, is available on Amazon, .com as well as BarnesandNoble.com. And then also, if you guys hit me up by email at afields121@yahoo.com, I'd be happy to ship a book out to you as well. So, again, thank you, ladies. It's been really fun.
Yes, thank you so much.
You have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, we love her. We so love her. That was powerful. Her experience writing that book was just amazing. Well, Dine on Life listeners, today we serve the dish on spirituality as well as the power of networking. And, again, the appetizer was definitely fun. The dish got real, and we were definitely refreshed with some positive tea.
Yes, so we'd like to thank you all for tuning in today. We'd like to thank our talented and wonderful guest, the spiritual author, Angel, serving the dish on spirituality.
Absolutely. I was so happy that she really dug into the honesty of what she went through, especially when she got down to her keyboard. She really wanted to write about romance, but she just let God take over. And again, that's why I just felt it was so powerful. And again, I'm glad you all got to listen to her experience writing that book, Fuller's Curse, and I know I cannot wait to read it. So, Dine on Life listeners, go to our site, blogtalkradio.com/Dine on Life, and serve the dish on your opinions of what we talked about today. Also, don't forget to follow us on Facebook for daily motivational positive updates at facebook.com/Dine on Life.
And don't forget to read updates and our opinions on our website, Dine on Life, where we serve the dish on real life experiences and share our opinions on news updates.
Thank you for tuning in.
We'll dine in with you next week. Have a good one.